uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. Notice I said, but we, when I first started out, it's prophetic. We shall. Amen. Receive power. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here is the fourth step. The fourth step is that we need the power of the Holy Ghost. In order to have revival, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. It's nowhere around it. Amen. It's nowhere around it. I know some people try to downplay it, but we're going to upplay it tonight. Amen. Amen. The book of Acts is a letter or a writing of the history of the church and the acts of the church, the things that, that's why they call it Acts, because it's the acts of, and some say the church, some say the acts of the believers, the acts of the Holy Ghost, the acts of Jesus Christ himself through the people are the acts of God. Amen. Amen. And so we understand that it is a book that really has no ending. It hasn't closed yet because we are still writing the book of Acts. Amen. Amen. And so the book of Acts was written by Luke. We know Luke is a what? Physician. We know that Luke had written this to Theophilus. Theophilus' name means lover of God. Theo meaning God. Philios meaning love. And so not only was he the love of God, but some people even say his name is also interpreted to be a friend of God. All right. Or the beloved of God. Amen. So he's writing this letter to the beloved of God, or basically one who loves God. Amen. The lover of God. And he's writing that to us because we say we what? Love God. And so here he's writing this. And in the former letter that he wrote was the gospel according to St. Luke. And he gave this man, he bestowed honor upon him. And this time he didn't. And whether it was because he had retired from his high ranking position as a Roman dignitary or not, or whether he had become so close to him that he could talk to him like that. Amen. But he wrote this to give him an understanding of what happened from the time Jesus had came upon the earth and the time that he left, and then what he left in order to happen. Amen. And so this is where he comes in, and he begins in verse 1, and he starts to talk to him, and he tells him, I want you to know what Jesus began to do and what he began to teach. Do you know that when you do something, you're actually teaching something? Amen. A lot of people say, well, I'd rather see a sermon preached any day than hear one, right? A lot of people say that, but you know what else, when we do our normal daily activity, it's not just what's happening in the pulpit. It's not just the preacher, but it's the people who are parents, people who are older brothers and sisters. Whatever you do, everybody watches and they do what you do. The children, I guarantee you see why that baby walk around with that phone to her, you know, and it keep falling because she see mama do that. Amen. So you teach by what you do. And so Jesus said, you know, follow me. And what he was saying was that let me teach you by you watching me, following me. Amen. And a lot of times you hear people used to say all the time, don't do as I do as I say. But that can't work. Amen. You have to do what you see being done. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to bore you tonight. Just stay with me. And so when he began to talk about this in verse number 2, he said that until the day which he was taken up after that through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So what has happened here, Jesus had begin to talk to them, and he talked to them for 40 days after he resurrected. He was seen by many people, and we find out that in verse 3 it says that after his passion, that word passion means after his suffering, you know, the passion of the Christ. He says that many infallible truths and proofs, in other words, he proved himself without a shadow of a doubt that he had resurrected from the dead. He come on and say, man, he got to a place where they saw him die, but then he let them see him resurrected. Not only did he show up to Thomas and let Thomas see that he had been resurrected, and not only did he show Thomas, but he let Thomas experience him. Amen. And so God is is all about you experiencing him. He's not about you staying afar off. He wants you to experience who he is. That's why Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said, I just want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Come on. And he said, and also in the power of his resurrection. If I suffer, then I resurrect after I suffer. That's revival. Come on and say amen. And so he wants us to experience him, and he wants us to experience him in the power of God. He don't want us to just experience and head knowledge, because a lot of times people get intellect and intelligence and they have head knowledge, and then we get head faith and head knowledge confused with real faith, heart faith. Let me tell you the difference. That, you know, we have all this knowledge nowadays, so much more than some of the preachers of old didn't have as much knowledge as we preachers have today. But they sure had more influence. They sure had more power. They sure had more faith. They sure had more miracles. They had more stuff happen in their ministries than our ministries all put together. I'm just telling the truth, amen? And so that's a difference. I don't care how much you find out and how much you know, you need to have an experience with God that proves who you are. When what the Bible says in the book of Acts, when the apostles, when they were seen out in the open, they said that these men are unlearned men, but we can tell that they had an experience, that they had been with Jesus, amen? And so we need to make sure that we have proof of who we know. It said that he was seen of them 40 days, for 40 whole days. Amen. He showed himself to them, and he began to teach them, and he talked to them about things pertaining to the kingdom. Jesus never changed his message. He continued to talk about the kingdom of God. He even tells us, he tells Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, he shall not even see the kingdom of God. Now, he didn't say, he said he can't even see it. He won't even recognize. I think that we are in that day now. So many people don't even recognize the kingdom of God. If they recognize, they would acknowledge the kingdom rather than putting people in the kingdom down. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the king's domain. It is where he rules. Amen. And so guess what? If you are a subject of the king, everywhere you are and whatever you have, God rules that. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so he had shown himself, and he commanded them. He says that you go back to Jerusalem and you wait. For he tells them in verse 5, for John truly what? Baptized with water. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Amen. John even tells us, he says that I baptize you with water, but there come one after me that will baptize you with the power and of the Holy, with fire and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So Jesus is telling them that I'm here to let you know what John said was true. He says that I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, you got to understand, he showed himself to 500 at one time, or more than 500. He showed himself to the 12. He showed himself to James, his brother. He showed himself to a lot of different people during this 40-day period. He was just showing up. And you know what I like about that? God does not have to wait for you to invite him to something. He will just show up. You know what? He didn't get invited to my life because I was doing what I wanted to do, like I wanted to do it, enjoying every moment of what I was doing. And then he invaded my life and just showed up, and he changed my life. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. You know, it's a greater testimony to say that I was doing sin and I liked what I was doing, and then God came and changed me, than to say, you know, I just got sick and tired of myself. You know, sometimes we got to look at that. I was doing 100 miles an hour in sin, and Jesus stopped me and changed my life. And I fell in love with him, and no longer did I want to do that, but I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. Don't wait till you get sick and tired of yourself and then choose him. But you know what? You really don't choose him anyway. He chooses you. You can't even come unless the Holy Ghost draw you. Amen. Amen. Y'all gonna be with me tonight? John baptized with water, but I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Now, what we ought to understand here is that a lot of times people don't understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got into a discussion, and one guy was saying, well, I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because what happens is we get so denominational that we want to fight. And because one denomination claims a baptism, we don't like that. And then another one don't, then we don't like that. Well, if the scripture says it, then we got to believe what the scripture said. Now, what we don't understand is that we've been singing, I need just a little more Jesus. That's, saying that we need more of the Spirit. But you don't need more of the Spirit. What you need to do is give the Spirit more of you. Help me, Holy Ghost. And this in turn turns into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because what was once in you now overtakes you, and now he's in control, and now you're under the influence and the control of the Holy Spirit. And what did he say about that? He said, they that are led of the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. Now I inherit everything that's in the kingdom. Amen. Amen. And so we don't really need to get into a fight about language or liturgy. We don't need to get into a fight about that, because we can make a play on words and disagree all day. But when it bottom line, we all mean the same thing, because we all need the power of the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you don't have anything, because in Romans he tells us that he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. You don't even belong to God if you don't have his Spirit. Help me now. So Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you, because they had experienced the regeneration. They had believed in him. But now he told them, like he said in John, I believe it's chapter 14, he said that the Holy Spirit that is with you shall be what? In you. And now you're getting to experience some of the things that I experienced, where as you would have done something opposite of what I wanted you to do because of your flesh, like you ran away when they arrested me, now you'll be able to stand bold when they arrest you, because you got the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, you were not able to really perform the miracles that you should have on your own, because you didn't really have the Holy Ghost. You only had authority. But now that you have the Holy Ghost, Peter, you people can walk in your shadow and they can be healed, because there's power in the Holy Ghost. I guess I'm in Bible study mode tonight. Amen. We're going to teach this. Amen. He says that not many days hence you'll be filled, or you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But then you notice in verse 6, if you read this whole chapter, you notice in verse 6, then they twist it and they start talking about the kingdom again. Because sometimes when we don't understand everything like we should, we always refer back to what we knew before somebody made a statement that we didn't understand. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. But they begin to refer to the kingdom of Israel. And that's where we start talking about, what we can see, what we can feel, what we can smell, what we can hear. Those things like that. We start referring back to what our flesh would be satisfied with. Amen. But notice one thing they did do, what I like about it, is that they begin to talk about restoration. Do you know that God wants to restore you? And they knew, even though I don't know everything yet, because the Spirit of God is going to teach me, because the Holy Ghost come to what? Reprove. And it comes to teach, because he's the what? Spirit of truth. And he shall teach you what? All things. And so the Holy Ghost comes to do that. And so they knew that once I learn, I'll be all right. But right now what I want to know, because we always ask God what we want to know. And he said, right now, what I want to know, will you give restoration? And God is looking for somebody to restore. They had a sense and an understanding that God was a restorer. Amen. And so all of that means that God will resurrect you. God was going to resurrect Israel. So when you look at restoration, restoration is not that you get back what you was given, or get back what you lost. But what restoration means is that you get back more, or you get back better than what you lost previously. Come on and say amen. And so in other words, when they asked, will God restore the kingdom to Israel? He was saying, will God give the power back? Will God give the domain back? Will God give us back what we lost? And Jesus said, look, don't worry about that. It's not for you to know. Come on and say amen. We need to mind our own business and let God's business be God's business. He said this part of it. He said, now God is going to give you power, but the Father had put this power in his own hand. It's his power. It's what he wants to do. Amen. But then in verse number 8, he says, but ye shall receive power. Now, what happens when the Holy Ghost come upon you? This is what happened. He begins to reveal something. He begins to reveal something. Now, let me read just a little further. You shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost. So when the Holy Ghost come upon you, you receive dunamis. That is the word dunamis, which means where we get the word dynamite. Oh, JJ, dynamite. That's where we get the word dynamite. And so when we look at dunamis, or when we look at power here, he's telling us that only after we have received the Holy Spirit do we have the power of the Holy Spirit. So now, who is the Holy Spirit? We got to stop talking about it. And let me tell you something else. I know we say this and we keep saying it, and we got the children saying it. Boy, they caught the Holy Ghost. You know you can't catch the Holy Ghost. No, the Holy Ghost can catch you. He can arrest you, but you can't catch him. How you gonna catch somebody you can't see? How you gonna catch somebody who's bigger than you? How you gonna catch somebody who's smarter than you, who's greater than you? I wish I had a few people here tonight. We gotta understand that we gotta use the right terminology. He is not an it. He is a he. He is a person. He's the third part of the Trinity. Amen. But you know what I love about him? The Bible said he doesn't come to talk about himself. He come to testify of Jesus. He come to let you know what really happened. Amen. But when we talk about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, we gotta look back and the first mention is that in the beginning, when God created heaven and earth, he said the earth was without form and void, but the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. We got to know what the Holy Ghost can do. The Holy Ghost can move in a dark, deep situation, and he can make it rumble. He can make it move. He can make it vibrate. I wish I had somebody. I don't care how bad off it looks. If the Holy Ghost is in your life, he can shake that thing up. He can turn that thing around, because the earth was without form and void, but after the Holy Ghost got through with the earth began to be ready for God to speak a word to bring forth whatever God had put in the earth. Oh, we got to understand something. I may have been no good. I may have been good for nothing to some people, but after God let the Holy Ghost come upon me, he put a word in me. Now I can live. Now I can be productive. Now I can be prosperous, all because of the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, you may be looking at me funny, but after the Holy Ghost get through with me, oh my. We got to see here the power of the Holy Ghost. There's power. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not just here for us to buck and jump. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, the Holy Ghost is not here just so we can say, oh, I sung under the anointing. That's not all that the Holy Ghost is here for. The Holy Ghost is here so that you have God on the inside of you, so that you can have some power, so you can walk in authority, so you can know who you really are. Oh, come on and say, man, without the Holy Ghost, we don't know who we are, because the Bible tells us in Romans that without him, we don't know that we are children of God. He said that when we get the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of adoption, he'll bear witness that we are now the sons of God. And no longer do I have to walk like an orphan, as if I don't have nobody, ain't got no help. That should never come out of the mouth of a Christian. I just ain't got nobody. You got the Holy Ghost. You got all you need. You got all the power that is in the world. You got the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You got the same power that called Lazarus out of the grave. You got the same power that walked by a dead boy and touched the casket and he raised up. You got the same power that opened blinded eyes, that told Bartimaeus, "Will you want to see?" You got the same power that opened up deaf ears. Do I have anybody in here that say, "I got power"? I heard the man say, "Wake up in here earlier." Let's wake up. You got power. Tell your neighbor, quit sleeping on your power. Quit sleeping on your power. You got power. He said, "You shall receive dunamis." So he says, and he said that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the utmost part of the earth. Look at this. He says, the first thing the Holy Ghost does is he reveals. He tells you who you are. He lets you know you're a son of God. He lets you know that you're the head and not the tail. You're the lintel, not the bar. You're above and not beneath. You start getting some confidence in yourself. And you know what people start saying about you? Oh, you think you all that? You holier than thou. I am all that. I am because of the Holy Ghost, not because of me, not because I've been so great, but because of the treasure that's on the inside of me. You're looking at somebody that's, you're looking at the house of God. You're looking at the tabernacle of the Spirit. Do I have any witnesses here? Stop putting yourself down and say, I ain't nobody. You are somebody in God. God thought enough of you. He thought you worth enough that he sent his only begotten son to die for you. And when he died, he didn't stay dead because he loved you. He raised himself. Oh, come on and say amen. He raised up from the dead, and now he's the firstborn among many brethren. He got up because he wants you to be his brother. He got up because he wants you in the family. Oh, yeah, we are somebody. Amen. And so he reveals to us. He reveals the duty of the believer. The duty of the believer. Anybody know what your duties are as a believer? The first thing we got to understand is that God wants us to be witnesses. Yeah, not only do he want us to be witnesses, but he wants us to work. That's why he put man here. In the beginning, it did not even rain on the earth because there was not a man to what? Till the ground. So God waited until he put a man here before he allowed things to start growing and start working. Amen? You know, a lot of things are not going to work wherever you... You got to think about this. You're so special, God would not let some things work until you show up. Let me give you an example. My cousin in here, he manages that meat market. A lot of us go get meat from. That market wasn't working. Can I use it? That market wasn't making no money. When he got there, it began to work. Why? Because he is full of the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why Psalm 1 tells us that whatever we put our hand to do, it shall prosper. So quit looking at yourself and thinking that I'm a fail at this and this is not going to work for me. But you know it's going to work because you are there. Yeah. Oh, I know I know that seems a bit cocky, but we got to know that who's on the inside of us. Yeah. I know that seems a bit arrogant, but sometimes people get arrogance and the anointing mixed up. I'm not arrogant. I'm just anointed. Yeah. That's why they got mad. That's why they got mad with Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Jesus says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, you know, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said that, and they got mad with him. He closed the book, sat in the chair. They got mad, and they took him to a hill, and they were finna throw him off. Because they were like, who do you think you are? Because he was anointed. People will be mad with you just because you're anointed. It ain't you. Don't worry about it. Just blame God. Don't worry about it. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus shook them off and walked right through the crowd. They didn't have enough strength. They didn't have enough power to destroy him because it wasn't his hour. Quit worrying about people trying to destroy you, how they try to put you down, how they try to break you down. It's not your hour. It's your hour to raise up. Come on and say amen and not be thrown down. It's your hour to walk through and not to succumb to whatever it is that they're putting on you. I see now y'all gonna make me preach hard tonight. Witness. To work. God don't want us lazy. He wants us working. Amen. He wants us working. And a lot of times we get lazy. I don't want to do nothing. Especially at the church. I just want to sit on the pew. I don't want to bother nobody. I want to ease in. And I want to ease out. Do you ever thought if God asks you to do something, that if God asks you to come and be a part of something, he actually asks you to come be a part so that you can be a working part? How many of us, when you got stuff in your car, if it's trash, you throw it out? Because the trash ain't working in the car. You got some extra stuff in your vehicle, you do what? Because it ain't what? Work. I don't need all that excess stuff riding with me. Oh, come on and say amen. And so we need to become a part of a working organism. The Holy Ghost is making us a part of a working, living organism, a body that is able to do whatever God wants it to do. Amen. So he says that you'll be witnesses. You will, he reveals that you are a witness, you are a worker, and then he reveals that we ought to worship God. He tells us to worship. And now we got to see something here. When we talk about the word witness here, he said that you shall be what? Witnesses. The word witnesses is the Greek word martyrs, which we get the word martyr. And one of the meanings, and I'm going to deal with just this meaning, hopefully. One of the meanings, we always talk about I'm being a witness. I'm not putting you down, but you got a track or you got something. You go to the knock on the people's door, you know Jesus, or you see him in Walmart. Hey, how you doing? You know Jesus. I'm just witnessing to you. You know, witness means to be a martyr. And that means that you're not just witnessing, telling them about Jesus. That means that you're about to go through some stuff. That the world seeks to martyr you, to kill you, to harm you, to hurt you. But not only does that word mean to martyr like that, but it also means to be a record. Uh-huh. Oh, Lord, I got your attention now. He says that this word means to be a record. Uh-huh. So you become a record for God. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. You become a record because you got to understand something about a record. A record, when I think about a record, I'm thinking about one record is that you become a document that's written. Amen. Do you know that you are a word from God? You are a document. You ought to be the living word. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. We ought to be a living document. We ought to be a Bible that people read when they see us wherever we go. They ought to see the word of God. They ought not see something that they got to wag their head at. They ought to see something that make them say, you know what? I got to talk to him because he got something I need. I wish I had somebody. You know, one day a guy walked up to me and after I bad record of something that took place in my life, this guy walked up to me and he reached in his pocket and he pulled $100 bills out and put them in my hand and said, you know, I need something you got because you bad record to me. I wish I had somebody. I'm just giving you an example. But look, when I think about a record, I think about a record player. I think about the old wax records. How do you get that to stay on the record? How do you get that to be on the record? And when I thought about it, I started thinking about how that gets made. In order for you to get that to stay on the record, you have to burn it. Help me, Holy Ghost. You'll be baptized with fire. So you have to burn. Now, come on and say amen here. And so when you burn it on the record, I don't care where you play it at, it's going to play the same thing. I don't care what you do. If you turn it on, you're going to hear it, and all of a sudden the same stuff that they put on it, and it's going to sound original. It's going to sound just like it was when they first made it. And so in other words, what people ought to see is the same record. You never change. You don't be one way one day and then another way another day. But I'm a record. I'm the same every day of the week. Do I have anybody that say I've been the same way since I got saved? I always love people. I always help people. I don't mind doing what God wants me to do. I've been the same. I wish I had somebody. I may not walk as fast as I used to. I may not be able to run to it, but I'm going to get to it and do what God has called me to do. Young folks, think about CDs. How do you think they get made? You got to burn a CD. Come on and say hallelujah. And so how do God make us a record? He has to burn us with the Holy Ghost. We got to learn how to be a martyr. And to be a martyr means to be like a victim or a sacrifice, a victim like Stephen was, a victim of some violence like Jesus was. Amen? But when you become a martyr, you become a what? Sacrifice. And the Bible tells us in Romans 12:1, he said, I beseech you, my brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know that good, that perfect and acceptable will of God. Do I have anybody listening tonight? He said that we need to make sure that we are a living sacrifice. God does not want dead sacrifices. He's looking for the living. He wants a living sacrifice. I wish I had somebody. He wants somebody to become a victim. Amen. And once you become a victim to the will of God, you become a victor in the works of God. Do I have anybody here that said, I've been a victim to the will of God. So whatever came against me, I became a victor to the world. I become a victor in the works of God. Come on and say hallelujah. He says that, look, I want you, he said, to present your bodies. You need.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday.